Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Good morning. You can do better than that. Good morning. Oh, you sound like you're alive. Amen. Where have y'all been? Oh, my goodness. So good to be back with you. Roma and I made it back last Sunday night. We got back kind of late. Coming into Nice's, I blew a tire out. Just before that, I'd taken her car to the shop to have brakes worked on and ended up with a $582 bill because it wasn't brakes. It was a water pump leaking and also a left front wheel bearing, and you have to buy the whole assembly. And then before that, another bill. How's your week's been going? Well, praise the Lord. You know, we do thank you for being away. We made it back to hear the musical over at First Irmo, and God just blessed my heart. I have not been able to get that song out of my mind. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Every morning I wake up, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. And last Sunday, I'd like for my two bodyguards to stand up. Y'all didn't know I had bodyguards, did you? Come on, Chuck and David. Chuck and David. Chuck Kearis and David Jones surprised Roma and I last Sunday morning and came down to hear me preach at Ashton Baptist Church. There's a little bit of history there that I need to tell you. Years ago, in 1979, May of 79, I had just gone full-time at Zion Baptist Church in Walterboro on January the 10th. I had served them bivocationally for 5 years, and the Saturday night before Mother's Day, I ended up preaching. The pastor that was supposed to preach that night couldn't preach that night. I was supposed to have started it on Monday night, so we swapped, and I preached on Saturday night, and when I finished preaching, that Saturday night, a gentleman got up and walked up to me. He happened to be the father-in-law of the pastor, John Hamilton. Some of you may know John Hamilton. He pastors here in this area. His father-in-law, Oda Reichert, came up to me and said, we just lost our pastor while you were preaching. God spoke to me and told me that you would be our next pastor. I said, he hadn't told me. But I shared this with some folks Wednesday night at the Thanksgiving meal, and let's give the Lord a hand for that Thanksgiving meal. Can we do that? Everybody just did such an awesome job, and I appreciate that so much. And we missed you if you weren't there, but we understand if you had a good reason for not being there, but we sure did miss you. Just a wonderful time of food and fellowship and friendship. But Oda said to me, he said, you don't mind if I share your name? And sure enough, he did, and they did, and Roma and I ended up at August the 1st of 1979 at First Calvary Baptist Church in Leesville. That was a hard decision to make, a very hard decision to make. Roma seemed to have arrived at her decision long before I did, but she didn't tell me. And finally, I went out to the old farm, and and I walked up the back steps, and my stepmother was in the kitchen, and I asked her where Dad was, and my mother had died in 75, and Dad had remarried in 77, and she said, he's breaking mutton corn down in front of the pole barn. Down home, we build barns out of poles. Anyway, I went down there, and he was there, and we small talked for a little bit, and I broke a few ears of mutton corn, Daddy was not a man of a lot of words. He wasn't like me. He didn't talk a lot. But when he said something, you needed to listen. And I said, Daddy, I said, I believe that God is calling me to go to Leesville. And there was dead silence. And he looked down at the ground, and he finally looked back up at me, and he said, son, is that what God's calling you to do? And I said, yes, sir. I'm convinced that's what God's calling me to do. You have to understand, that was the hardest thing in the world. Having lost my mother and moving away from my father, we were only 25 miles away from Dad and my stepmom, and enjoyed so much talking to him. Wish I had him now to talk to. I'm sure I'm not the only one here today. Thinking about things that you give thanks for. I give thanks for the godly parents, the godly home that I was raised in. So we moved to Leesville, and Rome and I had been married 16 years and 8 months, and along came Joni. And all in a year, she quit a job, gave up a promotion, moved, and had a baby in a year. That's the way our life has always been. God has been good. He's been so good to us all the way. I would have never gone to the Lexington Baptist Association as Director of Leadership Development. I'd never come here and preached revival. And Michael French, who heard me, who was chairman of deacons at that time, would have never called Johnny Rumbo and asked if I could come fill the pulpit for a few Sundays in 2009. And those of you that have been here know the rest of the story. Served you a year as an interim, and then the third Sunday in January 2011, you call me as your pastor. A journey. This message today is not a typical Thanksgiving message. Last Saturday night, I know I'm not the only pastor that sometimes I get what's called sermon block. And I couldn't seem to hear from God. And I was sitting there in the old farmhouse, and all of a sudden, God began to speak into my spirit. I told the church that last Sunday morning, and so you're going to hear this message. This will be the second time I preached it. I promise you, I don't have any notes. I do have two articles that came to me last week on the internet, which verified this message. I truly believe in my heart that God has given America a reprieve. I don't know what we're going to do with it. I'm not looking to the White House, the schoolhouse. I'm not really looking at God's house. But I'm looking at the individual houses, mine and yours, for transformation to take place during what I believe is a reprieve, y'all. Whether you voted Democratic or Republican is not the issue. I wasn't here last Sunday to talk to you about that, but I will today a little bit. We're not looking for a man. We're looking for the man, Christ Jesus, to come. And he's coming, just as Leon said just a few moments ago. He's coming, and his coming is very near. I believe that with all my heart, with all that is in me. I believe his coming is very near. So having said those words, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. And when you find that, please stand with me as we honor God through the reading of his word. 2 Kings chapter 20. It's right after 1 Kings, by the way. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sorely. And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle of the court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Return and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake, And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go into the house of the Lord on the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Father God, this morning, help us to hear from you. Help us to hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. And God, help us each and every one, as husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, to put our houses in order. For no man knows the day nor the hour of the return of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not let anyone, Father, by your Holy Spirit, convict them. Do not let them leave this place today without knowing that they know that they know that they are blood washed, blood bought, that they are born again, saved, ready to meet Jesus, for his coming is drawing near. I ask this in Jesus' name. And for his great honor and glory, I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This election's results remind me of the days of Hezekiah, king of Israel. The Lord was somewhat hacked at the country and at Hezekiah, who had become mortally ill. Hezekiah humbled himself. He wept bitterly. And he asked for mercy. The Lord revealed through his prophet Isaiah that the Lord would have mercy and grant Hezekiah 15 more years and spare his city, the city of Jerusalem. Just as Hezekiah was mortally ill, many of us believe our country has become very, very sick, maybe even mortally ill. We believe that because of the prayers and the intercessions, and let me just stop and say right now, that I am convinced that God used Franklin Graham as he traveled this country to rally the evangelical people, if nothing else, to prayer and concern. That God used the intercessions of God's people for the United States in his sovereign choice. God has extended his mercy to this nation. This is the first time since 1928 that Republicans will hold the House, the Senate, the presidency, the Supreme Court, and most state legislatures and governorships. Why does this seem to be important now? Simply because the platform includes sympathy toward evangelicals. Simply because the platform is not hostile to Israel. And God promised that he would bless those that blessed Israel, and he would curse those that cursed Israel. A door of opportunity has opened for us. We do not know how long this door may stay open. As we know, we are living in the last days. For the last days began at the day of Pentecost, when Peter reminded the people of that day at that time that what was taking place was that which had been prophesied in Joel chapter 2 by the prophet Joel. We do not know how long, but we do know that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very near. And we do know that we are living then in those last days. We soberly then should understand how we need to act as a people of God in gratitude and in thanksgiving as we have received his mercy, and that we make the most of the time that is left. How many of you watched the moon Monday night? Raise your hands. Supermoon. The rare supermoon of the first century marks the closest approach to the Earth in 68 years. November the 14th, 2016. In a rare phenomenon known as a supermoon on Monday night, the moon appeared 14% bigger and 30% brighter than usual. The last time a supermoon appeared in the sky so close to the Earth, it was accompanied by a miraculous event that took place overnight, the creation of the State of Israel. It's a once-in-a-lifetime reappearance tonight, on Monday night. Many are speculating what it may mean. NASA has reported that the supermoon will pass within 221,524 miles from Earth. It will be the closest full moon to date in the 21st century. The last time a supermoon came this close to the Earth was on May the 14th, 1948. Listen now. And the next time a supermoon will occur is not until November the 25th, 2034. God said that the moon would be a sign associated with Israel. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and fix the order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever, according to Jeremiah 31:35 through 36. Israel is experiencing unprecedented blessings at this present time. All the anti-Semitic noise at the United Nations and in the media itself are really having no effect on the slowdown of the Jews returning to their homeland. Why? Because God promised that he would restore the Jews. There are those that have studied Scripture that are much smarter than I am. Great theologians across the years have longed to see the day and the time that you and I are living in. The prophets of old that prophesied the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ have declared such a time as we're living in today. I urge you not to take lightly this day and this time in the history of this nation and in your lifetime. There are those that declare that somewhere between AD 1 BC 4, Jesus was born. We use the Gregorian calendar. The Gregorian calendar, by the way, is not accurate. It is incorrect. In fact, if you go back and study Domitian, when he was trying to determine the Easter cycle, he determined that it would always occur on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. The vernal equinox, of course, is when the sun comes back across the equator in the spring of the year. That's why your Easter cycle can vary as much as four Sundays in its rotation from year to year. There are those that believe that Jesus died somewhere around AD 29 and AD 33. If you split that AD 29 and AD 33, you come up with about AD 31. Hello? Now, please understand that I'm not here this morning to tell you that I know the day or the time that the Lord's going to come, because God has allowed the confusion of the calendar for a purpose, and that purpose is so that if you and I knew the exact day and the exact time that the Lord was going to return, we would just fold our arms and our hands and we would just sit back and wait on the Lord to return. And so God in his great wisdom and God in his great majesty and holiness and righteousness has deliberately allowed man to confuse the calendar. So please don't anyone leave here today and say that Pastor Johnny is setting a date for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do want to tell you that God and his word is a whole lot smarter than man. And I want you to understand that in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12, 13, and 14, Joshua was facing with the children of Israel that day a horrible battle. And had night fallen, the Bible tells us that there was danger that the children of Israel and the army of Israel would have been defeated under Joshua. So the man Joshua, being the man that he was, being the man of God that he was, being the commander-in-chief under Moses, he began to pray and he asked God of all the audacity to let the sun stand still. And so the scripture says there in Joshua chapter 10 that God permitted the sun to stand still for about a whole day. Then we come to this passage that is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 20 and in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and then in Isaiah chapter 38, because God does not violate his word, and he says at the mouth of two or more witnesses shall every word be established. And so when you take 60 minutes and you multiply it times 24 hours, you come up with 1,440 minutes in a day. Now pull your calculators out on your smartphones and check me out. And if you divide 360 degrees into, by the way, the clock's round that I look at most of the time. It has a round face, 24 hours most of the time, okay? So if you divide 360 degrees into that 1,440, you come up with 4. That means that for each degree on the sundial represented 4 minutes. So if the sundial moved backwards 4 minutes per degree, then it moved backwards 40 minutes. When you take the 23 hours and 20 minutes in Joshua chapter 10 and you add that to the 40 minutes in 2 Kings chapter 20, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and in Isaiah chapter 38, then you come up with a whole day. And by the way, just to prove that, when NASA was first structured to develop the space program for the United States, they began to feed all of the data into the computers of that day and that time in order to determine whether the spacecraft would be at such a day and such a time. And every time they would feed the information in that they had, they would come up missing a day. But as God would always have it, there was a young scientist who, for whatever reason, had studied the scriptures, and he remembered these two passages that Pastor Johnny has just shared with you today. And he began to say to them, here is your missing 24-hour period, and sure enough, when they fed the data into the computer, everything worked out perfectly. My friend, I don't know how many are present in this service here this morning, but I'm just going to use a round figure and say 180. Now, I don't know how many hairs are on your head. I sure don't know how many are on my head, but my Bible tells me that just us that are here today, God has every hair numbered. In fact, he's so accurate that he numbered every one of the stars and he knows the name of every star. If you want to question the authority and the accuracy of the scripture, just think about that phenomena for just a moment. And think of over, listen carefully, 6 billion people living right now, and every one of them with a head, and some with more hair than others, amen? And God knows and has every hair numbered. How accurate is our God? How accurate is his word? Can we trust it today? Can we stand upon the promises that he's made to us today? Do we believe what he's trying to tell us today? Do we understand that he's given America a reprieve? Doesn't matter whether you voted Democrat or Republican. He's given America a reprieve. I'm not whooping and I'm not jumping up and down because Donald Trump's going to be in the White House if the Lord tarries come January the 20th or whenever. I want you to understand, I'm not looking to Donald Trump. I'm looking for the soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have never invited him into your heart to be your Lord and to be your Savior, you better do that. And you better do it quickly. Well, I remember a period of 70 years in Daniel, prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 25, where God spoke and said because of the sin and the rebellion of God's people, they would be taken away captive. The city would be destroyed and the temple would be destroyed, and they spent 70 years to the day in Babylon. Now listen carefully. There was a young man by the name of Daniel who had studied the scriptures. He understood the times. He recognized the times. God had given him great wisdom and great understanding so that he could understand the times. He knew what the prophet Jeremiah had said. Listen carefully. And so he went and he approached a certain king, and that certain king's name was Cyrus. Now, please hear what Pastor John is about to say. God can use whoever he wants to, whenever he wants to do whatever he wants to do. Hello? He used a donkey to speak to Balaam. So he can sure use Pastor Johnny. Amen? Okay? And so Daniel understood the time, so he approached King Cyrus. And King Cyrus wrote the decree that allowed the Jews to leave Babylon and to begin the return back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city, the walls under Nehemiah, and to rebuild the temple under Ezra. Is our God an accurate God? Is he someone that we can trust today? Is he someone that we can absolutely believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has everything in control? Well, there's another period of 70 years I seem to remember in the scripture. It was the period after the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Jesus reminded them that the temple was going to be destroyed and not one stone was going to be left upon the other. Ladies and gentlemen, in AD 70, Titus the Roman emperor burnt the city and burnt the temple to the ground. And when the gold melted, it ran down into the crevices between the stones, so much so that they pried every stone apart to get the gold that had melted from the heat. Now, I have written down in my Bible over there, if you just want to question me, what temperature gold melts at. It is an extreme temperature. How accurate is the Word of God. Now, don't take anything from what I'm about to tell you right now. Please don't take anything wrong from what I'm about to tell you right now. But do any of you happen to know how old Donald Trump is? He's 70. 70? Really? Well, if Jesus was born somewhere between BC 4 and AD 1, then you divide that in two. He's born somewhere around BC 2, BC 3, BC 0, somewhere in that time frame. If he lived for 33 and a half years, roughly, the scripture says he did. We know that he was 12 when he was in the temple. We know that 18 years later he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And we know that he began his public ministry, and his public ministry lasted for about 33 and a half years. Then, if we know that there are three epochs of history, we know that from the time of Adam until the time of Christ was about 4,000 years. In fact, Matthew helps us with that because Matthew gives us all of the genealogy and the generations. And you can study the generations there in Matthew, and you will discover that all the way back in the Old Testament, God had prophesied that his people would be in a nation for 400 years or four generations. So to God, a generation is about 100 years. So you can study Matthew's gospel and Matthew's account, and you'll come to understand that really a man has been on this earth for about 6,000 years. Well, if Jesus was crucified in somewhere around AD 31, 29 to 33, and you add 2,000 years to that, this is 2016, isn't it? Next year is 2017. Let's add Hezekiah's 15 years to that and see what we end up with. Somewhere between 20, 30, and 20, 35. Food for thought. You see, no man knows the day nor the hour that the Lord is going to return. That's why I believe in the rapture. The reason why I believe in the rapture is because I believe in the 7 years of tribulation. And when the rapture occurs, if there's anybody left behind, and there will be, that takes time to study their Bible, they'll know that 7 years later, he's coming with his bride in the air. And his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. It'll cleave from the east to the west. And water from the great sea will flow to the end of the sea. But if he's coming in the rapture, no man knows the day nor the hour, then his coming is secret, isn't it? Yeah. Why? Because the world's not going to be looking for him. Only the blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again children of God who have put their house in order, like God told Hezekiah to put their house in order. Church, this may be the last sermon I ever preach to you. I don't know. Put your house in order. God extended mercy, and God extended grace to Hezekiah. And he added 15 years to his life. But at the end of those 15 years, he died. And listen carefully. And his son Manasseh ruled in his place. Don't take this pastor's word for it. You study the scripture. Manasseh became more wicked than all of the ones before him. Let me tell you something this morning, church. There is a wicked man coming that's going to rule and reign. He's called the Antichrist. You do not want to be here then. Every man will receive his mark or his name or his number, and you will not be able to buy nor sell unless you have his mark, his name, or his number. Are you ready? Is your house in order this morning? Not only is it going to be secret, it's going to be sudden. Paul said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I used to preach that the tombs were going to fall over, the copings were going to break up, and the ground was going to split open. Till one day God sat me down and said, you're wrong. You like to be told you're wrong? No, you don't like to be told you're wrong. But God set me down. He said, you're wrong. He says, a twinkle. A twinkle is 1/3,000th of a wink. 1/3,000th of a wink. Pew. Friend, listen to me this morning. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm trying to tell you, put your house in order. It'll be sudden. It'll be so sudden you won't have time to fall down on your knees and repent and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. You're going to be left behind. And you're going to be left behind to experience some of the worst judgments that have ever come on mankind. The seal judgments, there are seven of them. The trumpet judgments, there are seven of them. The vial judgments, there are seven of them. In the trumpet judgments, 1/4 of mankind dies. By all of the diseases, by all of the wild beast, and by warfare. Well, that leaves 75% of mankind, doesn't it? Well, in the vile judgments, 1/3 of mankind dies. That's another 25%. If you've got 75% left, you take away 1/3. That leaves 50% of the living population at that time is going to die. Secret, sudden, but selective. God selected you in the councils of eternity past. God chose you in His mind even before the foundation of the world, the Scripture says. God chose you in Jesus Christ. God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Jesus died for everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you a question. Is your house in order? Do you know that you know that you know that you're blood washed, blood bought, born again? That you can go back to the place in your life where you bowed your heart, repented of your sins, and of your own free volitional will, you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Friend, listen to me. If you're not sure about it, you better make it sure. Don't leave here today without knowing. Don't leave here today without knowing. I don't know when He's coming, but I know He's got every hair on my head numbered, and I know when I combed and washed my hair and combed it and brushed it this morning and sprayed it down so the wind wouldn't blow it away. I know that I picked up my hairbrush and I held it up to the mirror and I looked like that and I leaned back and I told Doug earlier when we were singing that song up there, Leon, and he was talking about the snow on the mountain. I held that brush up and there was a bunch of snow in that brush. God had to change His record this morning on me. And I'm sure He had to change His record on a few others of you when you were getting ready this morning too. Now listen to me. If there's 6 billion people, and every one of them, if they're alive, they've got a head on them, amen? And they got hair on their head, amen? And every hair is numbered, amen? I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Now listen to me. Does He know what He's talking about? Right under my little angel, I put something on my Bible. I believe this is one of the most historical elections that have ever taken place in this country. And my friend, I am as certain as I'm standing in the pulpit of Dutch Fort Baptist Church this morning that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is near. I basically just proved it to you from the Scripture. if you listened to what I tried to tell you, you understand that God is an exact person to the day and to the hour. He's an exact person. Therefore, if he's given us a reprieve as a people and as a nation, what are we going to do about it? For us, that we know that we're saved, we better start praying for those in our family that are not. For our co-workers, our friends, our relatives. America is going to enjoy prosperity. Listen to me. The stock market didn't bust as they were thinking it was going to do, even projecting. What did the stock market do? It's gone up every day but one day. Friday, it dropped, but less than 50 points. It's the highest it has been. Listen to me, church. Put your house in order. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, put their houses in order. I'm speaking, and I know I'm speaking from the heart of God. I have been amazed at the individuals that have confirmed this message that I've just preached to you this morning. Let us pray.